That's a good thing. The reason I say that's a good thing is because now you don't have to hold back and be like, I think I'll wait until I know who this guy really is before I let him speak into here. So I want to, with your permission, I'd like to share just briefly our first encounters and just briefly. I don't know how many years ago, let's say 10 years ago, I knew that the Lord had called me to seek out and begin to pray for someone to be a spiritual father to me. Never would I have dreamed I would find a Korean man that, I mean, I just honestly, what, you know, I, no offense to anybody, just naturally it wasn't what was in my mind. I had met lots of people, lots of men who I felt were great examples, men of integrity, but no one who I felt like the Lord said, I want you to open your heart and open your life and let this man be the spiritual father you're looking for. The first day I met you, October of 2015, I knew the day I met him, just spending 2 minutes in a car with him, he was the one that God said, this is who I want you to open your heart to and allow him to begin to speak into your life. Anyway, just really quickly, I want to explain to you just kind of where I'm going with this. I have watched Papa Che, is what I call him, and many call him that, but I have watched him operate in large crowds. I've watched him operate in small crowds, and I've watched him obviously operate one-on-one with me. And he has a way of making you feel like you are the most important person right now. I mean, I don't even want to begin to, because I know it's more than what I'm about to say, but I know there's at least 50,000 churches and organizations around the world that he oversees apostolically. Am I right? More than, okay, so it's over 50,000 that are linked with Harvest International Ministries. Some of those are marketplace people, businessmen and women, and some are church leaders. Anyway, but every time I go to Pasadena, and Sage and I try to go every year, he and his wife Sue always make personal time for me, for Sage, for our family. He remembers details about me and about y'all. Sometimes he'll tell me stuff about you guys that I'm like, I didn't even know that. But so I share all this with you for this. He could literally go anywhere around the world that the Lord tells him to go, but he told him to come here, and he told him to speak to you, and he told him to speak to me. And so I'm sharing this with you because I don't hold back and wait. Receive exactly what the Lord wants to give today through Apostle Cheon. And if you don't recognize apostles in the body of Christ, you need to come talk to me, and I'll explain to you why you should. But I know some people are like, I don't think there's apostles anymore. But last thing I'm going to say. I'm going to have him come up here, but we are going to receive an offering at the end of the service. And so stick around. Don't think everything's over and leave. If you do need to leave, we understand there are boxes on the back of the wall and you want to still give an offering, you can do that. He didn't come here for money. This isn't about money. If you feel like it is, keep your money. Quite honestly, because it's not what this is about. So please hear my heart when I say that. I mean no offense by that. I just mean I want to just show you that's not what we're here for. So, Papa Che, would you come and would you guys give him a welcome, please?
Thank you so much. Thank you. Such an honor to be here. You may be seated. I am so looking forward to being with you. You know, it's been 3 years since I was here last time, and And around that time, there was a prophetic word from James Gall. How many of you have heard of James Gall? He's part of Harvest International Ministry. He's been a prophet in my life. I've known James probably longer than anyone else except for Lou Engel, because I met him in 1979. Now, some of you weren't even born in 1979. So anyway, James prophesied 2017, a West Coast rumble. And he said, from San Diego all the way to Alaska, there's going to be revival that's going to break out on the West Coast. Yeah, believe in the prophets, you'll prosper and be successful. And so I really do believe that we're in, and I'm going to say something, and trust me, I'm not using hyperbole, I'm not exaggerating. We are in the most significant time in church history. We're on the verge of the greatest revival in the history of the church. And it's based on the Word of God. Because the Bible says, as surely as I live, this is Numbers 14:21, the whole earth will be filled with my glory. And then Habakkuk 2:14 says, the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So what does that mean? The knowledge of the glory of God, to know the glory, the manifest presence of God, and especially Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's in Colossians 1:27. To know that. How many know the glory of God dwells within you? Come on. You are carriers of the glory of God. But it says, as the waters cover the sea, and that's very important because it gives you the timing when this is going to be. Because a lot of times we relegate verses like Numbers 14:21 to, you know, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And we relegate it to the millennium, the second coming, but not before the second coming. We just don't have the faith, and we're singing. By the way, let's give a hand for the worship team. They were fantastic. That song so ministered. I never sung that before, I believe. But this is our DNA. We are children of Abraham. He was a father of faith. He believed, and God declared him to be righteous. So we need to believe God, and here's the reason why. Because in Revelation 21, verse 1, when Jesus comes back, He creates a new heaven, new earth. There is no more sea. So when He says the glory is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, this is talking about before the second coming of Jesus. Can we believe God for great things before the second coming of Jesus? I mean, He's given us a mandate to disciple nations. I know it seems so far-fetched, but I don't think it takes faith to believe all this will happen after He comes back. It does take tremendous faith to believe that this is going to happen before He comes back. Because we think the devil's winning. We think things are getting worse and worse. How many know God has never lost a battle? He's never lost a battle, ever. And we win. Now, you may have lost a battle or two. You know, through much tribulation we enter the kingdom, but God doesn't lose. He wins all the time. And so here we are, we're going from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says we're being transformed into His image from glory to glory. But this applies to the body of Christ, going from glory to glory, the manifest presence of God. And I'm submitting to you, we're on the verge of the greatest revival in the history of the church. And if I had said this in 2017, even with the West Coast rumble, I have to be honest, my heart wasn't in the West Coast. My heart was in the nations because I was traveling around the world, going around the world several times every year. I'm talking about around the world trip because it's a cheaper ticket. You can go around the world business class as long as you stop in so many cities and it's a discounted ticket because no one does it. And so, you know, here I'm going around the world several times to save HIM money and hitting as many nations. But I received a prophetic word from Ed Savosa in November 2017. Now, January, that's when James Gall said West Coast Rumble. Now, we're now at the end of the year. And Ed Savosa flew down from San Jose, San Francisco area to Los Angeles just to give me this word, which is unusual for Ed Savosa. Now, Ed Savosa, best-selling author and a major, major apostle in the body of Christ in his own right. But he asked me this question, have you seen the revival that God's promised you? Because I came to California when I lived in Washington, D.C., when I received a dream, 1982, September 2nd, a black man appeared to me, and in the dream I know he was 6'5", 300 pounds, without an ounce of fat.
And he said, the Lord's calling you to Los Angeles, for there's going to be a great harvest, great revival. And I woke up with the wave after wave of the Holy Spirit crashing on my body. I was manifest. This is pre-Toronto. Toronto was 94. This was 1982. And when I woke up my wife and shared the dream with her, she was getting hit by the Holy Spirit. And she said, this is of God. We got to get down on our knees. So we got down next to our bed, got down on our knees, and we just said, God, give us major confirmation, because all our lives, we grew up in the nation's capital. Our family, Sue's parents, her siblings, my parents, my siblings, our church, everything. We knew no one in L.A. Sue had never been to L.A. in her life. I'd been there only one time before for a speaking engagement. But to move 3,000 miles, to leave everything, it's like Abraham leaving Ur of Chaldees. He was looking for the city whose builder and maker is God. Again, we're on this prophetic journey. So we came out, and so Ed said, have you seen that? And I could have rationalized. I said, you know, we've seen it globally. We're seeing massive harvest in India. Just one of our apostles planted 20,000 churches, so we're not even exaggerating when we say we stopped counting after 35,000. It just got to be ridiculous. The harvest is coming in so fast and furious. Globally. Yeah, thank God for it. And you may not realize, but 200,000 people are getting saved every day. 200,000 got saved somewhere around the world today. And we're talking about 35,000 a day in India, 35,000 in China. Our work in Kenya with Mark Tubbs has just exploded with 7,000 churches. Our church in the Philippines, Chito Sanchez called me just yesterday, right before I flew out to Alaska. And he says, in the midst of the pandemic, they're experiencing the most incredible signs and wonders on the streets of Manila. They planted 6,000 churches. So it's harvest time globally. But when Ed said, have you seen the harvest in Los Angeles based on that dream? I had to be honest. I said, no, I've not seen it. And then he said, you will. And I did say, yeah, okay. But he says, you have to turn your heart to California. And my heart was not in California. I had turned the church over to my son. And he was the senior pastor. In 2016, I had done that. And so now I'm traveling around the world to do this reverse 180-degree turnaround. But my wife, being the major prophetic voice in my life, she knew this was the word of the Lord. And she said that Ed would not fly out from San Francisco at his own expense, take care of all his flight, car, everything, to just give you that word for you to just shrug it off. And I said, you're right. This is not like Ed. I've known Ed for years. We were part of Peter Wagner's apostolic team for many years, like 20 years. And so we began to see God. And I didn't know that my son would resign from being senior pastor in 2018, and we would be senior pastors again. I didn't know that 2020 there would be a lockdown, and I couldn't travel internationally if I wanted to. He had forced me to turn my heart to the West Coast for the West Coast Rumble. And I want to submit to you that we're on the verge of the greatest revival. And this is, again, not hype. I don't like the hype. I like to underscore things, actually, because I believe that, you know, you don't have to hype with God. Right. You know, it's not by might, it's not by your power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, Zechariah 4:6. And so I am so honored to be here. I mean that, and I believe that you're here by divine appointment. Yes. How do I know that? Because Psalm 37:23 says this, the steps of a righteous man, righteous woman, are ordered by the Lord. God has brought you here for whatever reason. Maybe some of you would rather be home watching the NBA game, whatever. But God has brought you here by divine appointment. Tell the person next to you, you're here by divine appointment. Go ahead. So much has happened in the past year and a half, and I'm going to share tomorrow night about the lawsuit against Governor Newsom, our lockdown, the persecution we received for just opening up on Pentecost Sunday 2020, May 31st. I'm going to share that with you, but one of the things that came out of, by the way, we've seen the greatest growth in our church during the lockdown. We have planted three other campuses, actually fourth campus. We just planted another campus in Sacramento, Harvest Rock Church, Corona. Ironically, the name Corona, because there's a city called Corona in in Riverside County. And then we went to Irvine, so we have a Harvest Rock Church in Orange County. and downtown LA, and now in Sacramento. And it's amazing. And then on top of that, we started a pro-life organization called One Race for Life. And what it is that it's taking the vision that we had for the Call Prayer Movement, because I was the president of the Call from 2000 to 2003. Lou Engel was a visionary founder of the Call, was to mobilize young people. And really the peak of that was not just praying for revival and reformation, but asking young people to make a pledge that they will always vote for candidates that are pro-life. Now, this is back in 2000 when we launched this. Now, we didn't have anyone sign anything. We just said make a commitment that you will vote biblically every time you vote. And these are kids who are 16, 17. They're coming into that voting age, right? And so when you can register to vote and vote biblically, vote life. Because we knew even back then, more so now, that Roe v. Wade will be overturned by the Supreme Court. But then it goes on a state-by-state level. Each state has to determine the abortion laws. And in California, for example, we have a super majority of Democrats. For example, the 40 state senators we have, 31 of them are Democrats. We only have 9 Republicans. Only 25% of the state of California are registered Republicans. 75% are Democrats or independent. So a lot of times, you have 2 Democrats running for a state assembly seat, or 2 that will run for a state senate. And we're not just talking about liberal, we're talking about extreme left. The progressive left is unbelievable in California. To give you an idea, and I'm just sharing the just facts. But July, right in the midst of the pandemic, a state senator who's gay, openly gay, from San Francisco, that's his district, passed a law legalizing being a pederast. What is a pederast? It's having sex with the 16, and so the consent is 16 and over, you could have sex. And it passed without anyone raising an objection. There were a few, but it was just like, you know, a voice in the wilderness. Because they just stamped it and Newsom signed it right in the midst of the pandemic, legalizing having sex with a teenager. Now, pedophilia is having sex with a child. Pederast is having sex with a teenager. That became law last year. So we're seeing these kind of bills being passed, and instead of being salt and light and resisting, we are overwhelmed. It's like a tsunami wave hitting us. So in the midst of this, I took a stand and said, we're going to say no to the lockdown. We're going to exercise our First Amendment right, the freedom of religion. And we won in the Supreme Court. I'm giving you already the... And we won a $1.35 million settlement. On top of that, the exclamation point of the victory, you know? I'll share more about that tomorrow. But it's time for the church to rise up and take a stand against evil. We're not just talking about individuals. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's not against Newsom. My wife calls him nuisance. But anyway, but it's not against Newsom. We love him, actually. I pray for him every day. Just like I prayed for Obama when he was president. And I do pray for Biden and Harris. The Bible tells us. And I'm praying for common grace to come upon him. Not saving grace. I mean, we're praying for that too, that he'll come to know Jesus Christ. But we're praying for common grace. What's common grace? Grace is when God just comes to just hold back evil, even though we don't deserve it as a nation. And that's what I'm praying for right now. That he doesn't make all these egregious mistakes and makes decrees that will actually hurt people and kill people. And already we're seeing the skyrocketing of petroleum. Even in Alaska, he ordered that the drilling would stop here in one of the major drilling projects here in Alaska. We're seeing inflation. We're seeing open borders. It is a mess, absolute mess. And I'm an immigrant, so I believe in immigration, but doing it legally. And I became a citizen when I was just a little kid. You know, my parents, we came here from Korea. My father was the first Korean Southern Baptist pastor in North America. It was right after the Korean War. And by the way, my father was a prisoner of war because he lived in what's called the capital of North Korea, Pyongyang, Korea. And when communism took over in 45, but in 1950, Kim Il-sung, the grandfather of Kim Jong-un, who is now the current dictator of North Korea, invaded South Korea. And when that took place, they arrested all the Christians because they were the major prophetic voice, the dissident. My dad got arrested. He was a pastor. And if it wasn't for President Truman, 1950, and General Douglas MacArthur, you need to know a little bit of your history. He sent forces and pushed the North Korean communist forces all the way to the Chinese border. Unfortunately, the Chinese got involved, and that made what was supposed to be just a six-month war to be 3 years. But the point I want to make is that they released my dad, and my dad came down to South Korea with millions of others that fled communism. They hated communism. And so I want to thank the U.S. soldiers. Can we thank God for the Armed Forces of America? You have no idea how they liberated us, and that's why... You know, when I was being arrested, I got a letter from the city prosecutor, we're going to arrest you, put you in jail for 1 year. We're going to fine your church members $1,000 per person. Per meeting, we're talking about millions of dollars in fines. Millions. And then the last paragraph, we reserve the right to arrest your church members. The thing that came into my mind, I'm not in North Korea. I'm not in communist China. This is the United States of America, and they want to arrest law-abiding citizens who pay their taxes, who simply want to worship Jesus. And what's crazy about California is that Newsom was releasing prisoners, rapists, drug addicts, because of COVID crowdedness. We want social distancing in the prisons. And they're releasing prisoners, but they want to arrest us. And that's what's happening to this nation. We have come to Isaiah 5:20. Where the Bible says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, darkness light and light darkness. We've come to that. But God, because we know, we read the end of the Bible, we win. The kingdoms of the Lord will become, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. Just meditate on Revelation 11:15. We'll just encourage you, no matter what you're going through. Because He is seated. How many know God's not standing? Jesus not standing. Wringing His hands, said, I can't believe this pandemic has hit every single nation. I can't believe the economic meltdown, the riots that are taking place. And no, He's seated. He said, it is finished. Yeah. All right. So, but we've seen tremendous advancement. And I'm going to share that with you. But I do want to give a word commercial here from our sponsors. The books that I brought, the proceeds of it goes to One Race for Life, our pro-life movement, and is donation only, whatever you want to give. Give something, but just give, you know, people say, well, what should we give? Well, we say, well, $20, and 100% of it will go to this pro-life movement. So what we're doing now is we're mobilizing the next generation of young people. We're going city by city, getting them to register to make a pledge to vote biblically, to vote for life. We're going to the churches. So you can make that pledge. You just go to One Race for Life website, and you can make a pledge and say, from now on, I will vote for candidates who are pro-life in perpetuity, from now on. Because we need to raise up the next generation and disciple them to do the same thing. Because when it goes state level, praise God that we'll be able to have in Alaska for sure. But we're believing God that God's going to make California. Here's where my faith is at. I believe that California is going to be a pro-life, pro-family state. I believe that. There's a root of righteousness. And just our victory of winning is a small indicator that in the midst of darkness, there's always the light of God's grace shining. And so we're on the verge of a great revival. All right. The next book I want to hold is, and again, I brought this because we're having a healing service, How to Pray for Healing. And at the end, I'm going to sign just a thank you for supporting One Race for Life. I've memorized, I don't know how many verses. But the way I prophesy, like Dick Mills, he just gives a prophetic word. For those who don't know Dick Mills, he was a major prophet that went home to be with the Lord. But he would prophesy by giving scriptures, references. And that's what I'm going to do tonight as well. So you have something you want to add? Or?
Hello. One Race. Books, the Reformers Pledge. If you can't afford to buy one, just take one. That's okay. But if you can afford to buy more than one, leave money for someone else to be able to get a book. So, again, they're free. It's donation, but do what the Lord tells you to do and bless
absolutely.
Other people.
Yeah, I mean, you say, well, I want to be involved in the pro-life. I mean, what could I do? Well, you could go on the website and just make that pledge. But also you can give to all these pro-life organizations are fantastic, but all of them needs your support, and so your prayer support and financial support. But I'm going to give these two away. Anyone celebrating a birthday during the weekend on here? Anyone here celebrating a birthday? Okay, well, Zach, I'm going to give to you to pass out at the end of the service. Yeah, you could do that. Let me just go right into the Word. The reason why I'm saying this is such a historic time is because of April the 9th, April the 9th, 2020. So for those who know church history, that's a very significant anniversary. Who could give me just a shout out what's the anniversary of for April the 9th? Yeah, Azusa Street. 115th anniversary of Azusa Street. The reason why that's so significant, how many have heard of Smith Wigglesworth, one of the great revivalists that came out of the Azusa Street Revival? He prophesied 100 years after the Azusa Street, April 9th, 1906, will begin the Great Awakening. We call it the Fourth Great Awakening. All right. So the First Great Awakening will be 1738 with Whitfield, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards here in America. 1801 will be Second Great Awakening. The most famous revivalist was Charles Finney during that time. The Third Great Awakening will be 1906, the Azusa Street Revival, which has impacted hundreds of millions. So when you think of the 800 million evangelicals, I mean, there's like 2.5 billion Christians, but 800 million, but 80% of that are Pentecostals or charismatics like you and me. You're in the majority. But at one time, we were the minority. They were the kingdom of cults with Walt Martin listed the Assembly of God as a cult until the 40s. So it shows you how the paradigm has shifted. And by the way, I noticed most of the pastors who were for Trump were spirit-filled charismatic Pentecostals. A lot of the never-Trumpers were evangelicals who got into the whole seeker-sensitive movement. And I don't want to mention names, but it was just an interesting observation because I think some things are spiritually understood. It's like spiritual things are spiritually understood. You just don't see. It's just like being born again. Unless you're born again, it says in John 3, you can't see the kingdom. It didn't say enter. You first have to see before you could enter in. And so a lot of them were just blind. And then they came out, these evangelical pastors said, Biden owes us an apology because we feel defrauded. I'm thinking to myself, what are you talking about? He was up front that he believes in late-term abortion. Everyone in the Democratic primaries were for late-term abortion. You knew what you were getting. And when you realize that the Hyde Amendment is being overturned or tax money is going to pay for abortion, whether you like it or not, he says he was going to do that. And now we're feeling like we got defrauded and he owes us an apology. Are you kidding me? You need to repent. You need to apologize for voting for him and supporting him. An abortionist as our president. Going to hear an amen. At least one or two, you know, just all of a sudden got really quiet. I said, am I in the right room here? Okay. Thought I was preaching to the choir, but maybe I made a mistake here. And so we are now realizing, but here's the good news. Where we're sin abounds, grace abounds all that much more. There's always the darkest time before the light of revival. It's Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 5. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Yes, darkness covers the earth, deep darkness over the people, but the Lord rises upon you. And nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of his dawning. So we're going to be seeing presidents, kings, prime ministers getting saved in this revival. And I'm praying for Biden. I pray for Newsom. God's answered my prayer. Because in the early days, I said, God, save him or remove him. I didn't know there was going to be a recall. And seriously, so he's been recalled. And so we're in this process of recalling the governor, which is historic. This was only one time before, 2003, where Gray Davis was the governor, was recalled by the Democrats again. Majority of people who signed the petition to recall Governor Newsom are Democrats. It's not the Republicans. We were just a small minority in California. But even the Democratic moms are fed up with the schools not being able to be open for their kids. Businesses are run by Democrats. 18,000 businesses have declared bankruptcy. than California alone. It's criminal. And there was no science behind it. It's all socialism, it's control, it's a spirit of control. And God has given us the foundation of what the Bible says, that the truth will set you free. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's the foundation for liberty, is from the Bible, the Spirit that God gives freedom. And yet we've seen that liberty eroded, where they, you know, they're not to interfere with the free exercise thereof of the church. So from the very beginning, the church should have been essential. Like it was in Texas or Florida with other governors, but not in California. In fact, 49 states opened up services, including Alaska, before California did. And only reason why we became the 50th, because we won the lawsuit. We would still be locked down today. That's how bad it is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? 49 states opened up, including liberal states like Washington, Oregon. They opened up churches, but not us. And so we have to realize that we're in a Kairos moment. And if it's not you and me, who then? We're the ecclesia, and I want to talk more about that tomorrow night. We're the called out ones. We're the ones who are to be salt and light. We're to be the prophetic voice. Even Dr. King says the state's not over the church, and the church is not over the state, but we're to be the prophetic voice in the conscience of the state. And so that's what's happening right now. But April 9th was very significant because it was the 115th anniversary of Azusa Street, but also it was the day that Dietrich Bonhoeffer was martyred by Hitler. Here was a pastor, evangelical. I think he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, because when he came to study in the United States, he went to a Pentecostal black church in Harlem, and that's where he got awakened. And so I think he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer... And by the way, the best book on Bonhoeffer is by Eric Metaxas. The two books I would encourage is Amazing Grace, about this life of William Wilberforce, the great reformer who ended the slave trade and slavery in Great Britain in 1807, 1833, respectfully. But Bonhoeffer was an amazing man of God. He just resisted the totalitarianism of Hitler Germany. And he was martyred. He was killed. And this is only, we're talking about 2 weeks before the war officially ends. 2 weeks before Hitler would take his life. But he hated Bonhoeffer so much that before he was going to take his own life, he had Bonhoeffer hung on April the 9th. But April 9th is also very significant, because that's when the Supreme Court came out in our favor that you cannot even lock down Bible studies or prayer groups. You have to understand, Newsom didn't just lock down churches, but he locked down any prayer meeting, Bible study, any meeting at the home was illegal. And the Supreme Court said that's not constitutional, 5-4. The first time when they ruled in February was 6-3 about our church services that we can meet. But then they ruled again concerning Bible studies, because he said, okay, well, churches can meet, but we're still going to lock down homes. And the Supreme Court, we appealed to the Supreme Court, and they weighed in. And I think that's significant, because even the ecclesia of Jesus said, when two or three gather in my name, they're in the midst. You can't lock that down.
Right.
And so, anyway, that was also on the 9th. But let me tell you something else that happened. Prince Philip died on April the 9th. What's the significance of that? Well, I need to go back to Bob Jones and the prophet in Kansas City, going back to 1984. And how many of you heard of Bob Jones? Okay, he passed away in 2014 on Valentine's Day, February 14, 2014. But when Mike Bickle moved to Kansas City to be a pastor, he was just a young pastor starting his church, Bob Jones shows up and says that God's going to use you to bring a great national revival. And this guy's just a kid. You know, he's like in his late 20s. And first time he was a youth pastor, now he's senior pastor. And Bob Jones says that the Lord's calling you to call for a citywide fast, and you're to go on a 21-day fast. And so Mike, being the zealous lover of Jesus, calls for it, and people are saying, who are you to call for a fast? You're a new kid on the block. You don't even have seniority, even among the pastors in Kansas City. But he does it and says, whoever wants to. And so they meet every day in their church building They had morning services, afternoon service, evening service, almost like a prelude to the house of prayer that they would establish in the year 2000, but they were praying 21 days, fasting. And so they were expecting, you know, when you're, how many know there's a difference between the prophetic word, then getting the right interpretation, and then the right application? It's very important, because you could get a right word, but if you don't interpret it right, it's going to mess you up. A lot of times in our zeal, we run with our interpretation instead of waiting for God's interpretation. And then the other issue is the application. How are you going to apply it? You got to hear from God even to do that. So anyway, when Bob gave him this word about 21 day fast and revival coming, Mike thought it was going to be in 1984 right after the fast, right? He's zealous and he thought, okay, we're sacrificing, we're not eating for 21 days. Surely God's going to visit us. And then Bob shows up. I didn't say when. In fact, the revival is going to break out two stages. He said 10 years from now, and the sign will be when the Mississippi runs backwards, will be a sign of the beginning of a great revival. 10 years later, the Toronto outpouring took place January 1994, and it rained so hard, the Mississippi flooded and ran backwards. The news reported it. So this is the kind of prophet Bob Jones was. He was a center guy, just an uneducated country guy, but he had these monumental words. But then he said there's going to be a billion soul harvest. But this revival is going to happen after I die. No, they didn't know when he was going to die. He died in 2014, but he says after I died. So he was trying to tell Mike, it's not going to be this year, okay? I'm going to live for a while, and then after I die, the billion soul harvest will begin. But it will be with the anointing of Luke 4:18. What's Luke 4:18? That's the text for tonight. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He's called me to release the captives, to open eyes that are blind. So we're talking about a supernatural empowerment of the Spirit coming upon the church. Of course, it came upon Jesus after his baptism, but the prophetic picture of that is that the Spirit is on us now through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That word, martruo, Greek word, we get the word martyr from. You're going to be my laid down lovers in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so he said it's going to be on the anointing of the Spirit's power when this billion soul harvest is going to come. So bringing it out to April the 9th in Kansas City. Mike Bickle is part of what's called the, Rick Joyner has a round table. It meets every year in February. I was part of that for a number of years. I've just got too busy. I can't be at every board and round table, but Lou Engle's part of it, Cindy Jacobs, some of the key prophets are part of this round table. And so Rick Joyner was talking to Mike and said, we have a, most of the people on the round table are old, okay? Can I just be honest? They're like 65 or older, okay? And I don't want to give the ages of all the names I just mentioned, but they're all 65 and older, okay? And but they had a new kid named Chris Reed, who was 36. He was like the new kid on the block, but extremely young compared to the rest. And Rick introduced him, and he introduced him this way. He said, he has a word of knowledge and anointing like Paul Cain. Now, again, you got to know the history of Bob, Mike Bickle and Paul Cain, not just Bob Jones, but Paul Cain lived in Kansas City. Mike was the apostle over these prophets called the Kansas City Prophets in the 80s. People like James Gall was part of that. John Paul Jackson, who was a major prophet, and the body of Christ was an expert on dream interpretation, and he has been a prophetic mentor to people like Robert Morris at Gateway Church. He was a part of John Wimber's team. And so these are people who have passed away, by the way. Out of that group, Kansas City, only James Gall is alive that I know of. Everyone has passed away, and including Bob Jones and Paul Cain. But when he said that he moves in words of knowledge like Paul Cain, Mike said, I don't believe that. No one is like Paul Cain. And he said, just get to know him. So he spent the whole retreat just talking with him hours every day. And sure enough, he saw him minister in the Word of Knowledge with that group of around 40 leaders. So he said, well, I want you to come and invite me to, I want to invite you to our church in Kansas City. Not IHOP, the Ministry of Prayer, but the church that's associated. Because he said this, we're going on a 21-day fast. And we're meeting every night during the fast. And we'd love to have you come and speak at one of the days. So he looks at his calendar and says, the only time I can come, really, is April the 9th. And he doesn't make any association of being the anniversary of Azusa Street or anything like that. And Mike said, hey, that's the last day of our fast, and that'd be great. We'd love to have you come. And you could finish out on a Friday night in the evening, and we're having our Global Summit conference during the same time. And so, again, the Supreme Court decision, Azusa Street, Bonhoeffer, Dell. And so he said, before you come, why don't you come and speak to our leaders? And then you can minister at night, because our leaders don't know you. I hardly know you, and we just want to get to know you, so why don't you come? And so they met with around 15 of their senior leaders that morning before Chris was going to speak that evening. And so when he walks in, Mike just said, hey, why don't you tell your story, tell us your testimony. He said, before I do that, I was listening to the radio, and I was driving over here. I don't know if you heard, but Prince Philip died this morning. How many remember Prince Philip dying? It was in the news, okay? Some of you don't even watch it. But anyway, you know, it was major news for that day. And Mike said, yeah, we heard that too today. He said, well, I want to share something with you because I don't understand what this means. But 18 months ago, God told me that Prince Philip was going to die. And I wrote down the statement that God gave me 18 months ago. It's in my iPhone, and I typed it on the 18 months before the calendar. So he opened it up, showed them, and here's what it says. When Prince Philip passes, it'll be 4:18 at last. Let me say that again. When Prince Philip passes away, it's like a riddle, it'll be 4:18. And he says, I don't know what this means. Do you know what it means? Mike's freaking out. Bob Jones' prophecy that it'll be Luke 4:18, the billion soul harvest, is going to be based on the supernatural power of God coming upon the church. Not just one individual, not some healing evangelist, but on the body of Christ. These signs will follow those who believe this. Mark 16, verse 17. In my name you will cast out demons. It doesn't say the healing evangelist. It says believers. That's why that song was so powerful during worship. I believe. Do you believe that God could do miracles for you? That cancer can dissolve? The metal can dissolve. Scars can dissolve. I'll never forget when I was speaking at a conference in Canada, with Wes and Stacy Campbell, two of the prophets in HIM. And I saw a woman, and I said, Lord's healing you of a back problem. And now she did have a back problem because she was in a car accident, and she hurt her back. And sure enough, she stood up, and she was instantly healed of her back problem. What I didn't know is that she had also ripped her hernia in the car accident, and they had to do surgery, and they botched it the first time. And so they had to cut her from one side of the belly to the other side and did it twice. So she had stitches on her belly. So every morning she would dress the wound, put that fresh bandage on it, put whatever medication on it, and that evening, so she goes home, and she's ready to dress. Now, she's healed of her back, but she didn't know that it's also, because this was part of the car accident. And so when she takes it off her bandage, the scar is totally gone. The sutures are all gone. There's just a pink line on one side of the belly to the other. She calls Stacy. Stacy wakes me up at the hotel room in the middle of the night, said, do you realize what happened, the word of knowledge you gave? I said, glory to God, you know. But this is the kind of miracles we're coming into, creative signs and wonders. Scars disappearing. I've seen people who've had knee surgery. I'm not talking about, you know, arthroscopic where you could hardly see the scar. I'm talking about when it was back in those days where they just really cut your legs up. Stitches going from one side to your shin level, being totally healed, no scar whatsoever. Talking about someone being healed of knee injury, One of the first persons I ever led to the Lord was a fullback from Laurel High School. And it was just something that happened. I got invited to a secular birthday party. I didn't know anyone at this party. But it was free food, and I was young, and so I went where the food was free. It was a doctor who was throwing the birthday party for his daughter, and he had the food catered. I mean, I'm talking about very wealthy, in Potomac, Maryland. He had a horse ranch, tennis court, swimming pool on his property. Food was catered. I thought this was an amazing party, and so I'm a believer. I'm a brand new Christian, a few years old, in the Lord. And the Lord began to convict me, even at this party for like almost 2 hours, you haven't shared with one person. None of them know me. And I come under conviction. And to make a long story short, I started to witness to someone who was playing tennis. I played tennis back in those days. And he ended up giving his life to Jesus Christ, right there on the tennis court. And so I started to preach to others. I just started to grab people and just talk with them about Jesus. And the hostess, the girl who celebrated birthday, heard about it. So she said to me, "Hey, I hear you're preaching at my party." And I'm thinking, oh, I'm getting the left foot of fellowship. She's going to kick me out now. But you know what she said? She said, "Why don't I call all my friends to the rec room and why don't you share all of us with all of us what is happening in your life?" And since she's the hostess, everyone's getting off the horses, off the horse ranch, coming off out of the swimming pool. They're all coming into the rec room, around 40 of them. And so I began my testimony by sharing how God healed me supernaturally. I got healed of lifelong allergies, hay fever. The first time I walked into a charismatic worship service and I raised my hand to worship, I got instantly healed, and I've been healed ever since. God's my witness, okay? So I'm sharing that. For whatever reason, I share that, and there's a guy sitting in front of me, and he raises his hand, and I'm thinking, he's interrupting me. I mean, I didn't ask for hands to be raised. And so I said, "Yes." I didn't know him from Adam. He said, "Can God heal me on my knee?" I said, "What's wrong with your knee?" He said, "Well, I was a football, senior football player at Laurel High School, a nearby high school, and have had 3 knee operations, again, before arthroscopic surgery. And you could see the scars. He was wearing short pants, and so you could see the scars on his knee. And he said, "I'm in excruciating pain. Can God heal me?" And so now everyone's listening and watching. It's like this power encounter. And I just said, "Well, I'm not the healer, but let's see what God will do." So I get down on my knee, put my hand on him. He didn't even stand up. He just looked at me and said, "It's gone." I said, "What's gone?" "The pain is gone." And his friend, right sitting behind him, again, there's around 40 of them, like this crowd here, he said, "I don't believe you." And he said, "No, I'm telling you, it was just throbbing with pain. It just disappeared." I said, "Well, stand up, do something you couldn't do." He said, "Well, I definitely could not do it to me then." I said, "Well, once." So he started to go down and up and down and up. He said, "I'm telling you, it's gone." And the power of God came upon this secular party. I gave an invitation. I said, "You saw the power of God. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, get down on your knees right now." 3/4 of them got down on their knees and they gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And then they started to speak in tongues sovereignly. Now, I'm not exaggerating. This is called the Jesus People Movement. Was during the time, but I'm telling you, what we're coming into is even greater than that. And he wants to use you in signs and wonders. I was not an evangelist. I was just 19 years old. And I was not in ministry or anything like that. I was a student at the University of Maryland. And so God is on the move. That is through power. And so when he says, when Prince passes, it'll be 4:18 at last. They've been contending for that encounter of Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." They knew it was going to come after Bob Jones passed away, 2014. They didn't think it would be April the 9th of this year. So Mike Bickle goes on to say, "We have now begun a new chapter in Christendom." Now, he doesn't even talk about Kansas City. He's talking about in the body of Christ, which is a bold statement. A new chapter in Christendom, in the body of Christ. How many of you are part of the body of Christ? All right. So there's a new chapter for you, where the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you. He's going to anoint you to preach the gospel to the poor. Do you know the majority of the people who come to know the Lord are poor people? The harvest is always among the poor. I learned that in School of World Missions when I was a student at Fuller Seminary. Like, for example, it's not just people from India getting saved. It's the outcasts. It's the lowest caste are getting saved. It's always that way. It's in China among the rural, uneducated Chinese. It's not in the cities. It began with the farmers and people who are uneducated. And now it's swept to the cities. That's how massive the revival is in China. But it's always been the poor. It was the coal miners in the Great Awakening. Whitfield went to Bristol, and he's just waiting for the coal miners to get off work because they never went to church. They didn't feel they were worthy, even though they belonged to an Anglican parish. They would have to take a bath. They didn't have nice clothes to walk into a church building. They took baths back in those days maybe three times a week if they were really fastidious about being clean. And, you know, so to wash just to go to church service was something that was not on their radar. And so Whitfield knew that. So he went to where they were at and waited for them to come. And sure enough, thousands were gathered, up to 30,000 open air. And you know what? It's happening again with Let Us Worship. Mike Spurgeon's son, Jay Koopman, and Sean Floyd, who helped us with the first call, he was only like 16 years old when he volunteered with the call. They're now gathering people. You've got to follow them. Let Us Worship. Thousands. Are they coming here? July. Because I was just saying to myself as I was sitting in worship, we need to bring Jay Koopman here. Let Us Worship. You're seeing people getting out of wheelchairs and praying for those with wheelchairs. Someone who got healed of MS, multiple sclerosis, gets out of the wheelchair, and then he turns around and sees someone else in the wheelchair. I don't know what the problem, and they get out of the wheelchair. Just brand new convert. The power of God is massive. It's like the Jesus People movement. So they had 10,000 in Huntington Beach, and so they had a spontaneous baptism in the Pacific Ocean. Again, like the Jesus People days. So we're seeing a great move of the Holy Spirit. And it began in the West Coast, by the way. It happened in Los Angeles. Again, wherever sin abounds, grace abounds all that much more. Mario Morello, I've known him since the 70s. But God's like resurrected him, and he's doing these 10 meetings. But the people are so, the crowd, he was in Sacramento. Thousands of people were stuck in the traffic jam. They didn't even make it to the crusade because, you know, they were just stuck two hours in traffic. I mean, that's a good problem when thousands are trying to hear the gospel. And he said to me, it's crazy. We're talking on the phone because he's a dear friend going way back. But he's also coming to Pasadena to do a meeting in our city. And so we're talking about it. He said, Che, you know, it was a time where if I got 150 pastors for my pre-crusade meeting, because what he would do is host a lunch, pay for the lunch, and then they would come and then share the vision about reaching their city for Jesus, and then they would mobilize and invite their church members and unbelievers to come. That's the way he would organize an event. But he says, when I was in Sacramento this last time, if we had 150, it would be great. 200 would be fantastic. 250 would be off the charts. He said, we had to break it off at 900 pastors for lunch, pastors' luncheon. We've never experienced, he said, something is in the air. Revival is in the air. And that's where the thousands showed up. And they got stuck in a traffic jam. They weren't ready. That's a good problem when the revival is so massive. Your infrastructure organization, it's the harvest coming in mass. So how do we do this? Because God wants to use you. Let me just say, very simply, is that you need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Because when you're full of the Holy Spirit, is that the Spirit of God will lead you and guide you. It's amazing, even in Acts 16, the Holy Spirit forbade them to go into Asia. It wasn't time. And each time they tried to go, they were blocked. But then he gets a dream, and a man from Macedonia calls him, and so he realizes to go to west, to Greece, to Macedonia. And the gospel has been going west ever since, by the way. And so we've got to be led by the Spirit. So are you full of the Holy Spirit? It's not enough just to be baptized in the Holy Spirit 15 years ago or 5 years ago or 5 months ago. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, but be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled in the Greek is a continual present tense. By the way, knowing a little bit of Greek is really, really helpful. For example, the Great Commission, the word go is not the command. It is a participle. What that means is that it means as you're going, make disciples of nations. As you're going, God's assuming that you're going to obey him. because he's already given us the marching orders to go. So as you're going, so God will empower you when you step out in faith and start doing the stuff. He will give you the grace. The words of knowledge will come. The prophetic words will come. The signs and wonders will take place. It's just like steering. You have this massive truck. I love the truck. But you can't steer that unless you're moving. Then once you move, it was amazing how he was able to parallel park. Amazing. In this tight corner when we went out to lunch yesterday. It was just, you know, amazing. Because I would never even try that with a truck like yours. But it was moving, and then you could guide it, see? And so the problem is we're not moving. We've become sedentary spiritually. When was the last time you shared? There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but when was the last time you shared? See, the reason why the early church exploded is because they were gossiping the gospel. That's what it means, gossiping the gospel. They're just talking about it, chit-chatting. Like this morning, I'm having breakfast at the hotel, and my waiter happens to be Filipino. And I've been to the Philippines maybe 30 times. We have 6,000-7,000 churches there. But my wife is from the Philippines. She's a Filipina, but born in New York City. Her parents immigrated back in the 50s. And so I started talking to him. I said, "Kumusta ka?" You know, and he said, "Oh, are you Filipino?" I said, "No, I'm Korean, but I'm married to a Filipino." And all of a sudden, the Lord gives me a prophetic word for him. And I said, "You know, I'm a pastor. I'm going to be speaking here in Anchorage, but I have a prophetic word from you. I have a word from God for you." And before he could even ask, "What does that mean?" I give him the word. I said, "You're going to have a business that's going to cause you to be tremendously blessed, but the Lord says that if you make Jesus number one in your life, he will prosper you in this new business." He starts to weep. And then he says, "I feel tingling all over my arms. What's going on?" I said, "That's the presence of God that's coming all over you." And he said, "This is an amazing word because I've been thinking, my wife and I have been thinking about starting a restaurant." He's now a waiter, but he's been saving his money to start. I said, "Do it. God's going to bless you. But make Jesus Lord of your life." So it's just gossiping the gospel. Just this morning, it's not like, you know, I asked him to get down on his knees and gave his life to Jesus. Because when you are moved by the Spirit of God is the one that's drawing people, and they will get saved. I remember we were having a major concert after we bought the Ambassador Auditorium, which is his performance arts building, in 2004. And it's a $32 million building. Just Google Ambassador Auditorium. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And we bought it for $13 million, by the way. We didn't pay $32 million. But we started to host concerts. And the deal is, if you want a concert, we have to share the gospel before the concert. So passing a symphony, they would have to do the gospel. All those attending. Seriously, that's in the contract. Not once we have had one person say no. You got to take this out of the contract. They want to use our building so bad, they're saying yes to the gospel being preached. And so we've had a chance to share so many. We've led members of the orchestra to the Lord. I mean, it's just been amazing. But this particular day, Victor Venner, who's the maestro for California Philharmonic, they're running that weekend, he says, calls me up and says, "We had this Orthodox Jew from Vienna, Austria. He's a renowned violinist. He's going to be our guest star." And what they do is they have their orchestra that's union in Southern California, but they also bring in like a Yo-Yo Ma. Yo-Yo Ma's performed in our auditorium many times. Pavarotti sang in our auditorium before he passed away, one of the greatest tenors. So these are the kind of caliber people that have been using our building. So he says, this guy named Herbert Perlitz, never heard of him, but he said he's going to come, but he's Orthodox Jew. We're having a special kosher reception for him, and we'd like for you to come if you're in town. He knew I travel a lot. I said, "Well, you know, I'm in town. My wife and I will be there." So we're mingling with the symphony, and they introduced me to this Orthodox Jew violinist. And all of a sudden, God gives me a word for him. And I said, "Excuse me, but I'm a pastor, and I have a word from God for you." I got his attention. And I said to him, "You're now performing for your own glory, but one day you're going to perform for the glory of God." That was the word. And so I walk away, and he pulls me back, and he says, "You've got to explain what this means to me. I don't understand what you're saying." I said, "What are you doing after the concert?" He said, "I'm here. My brother lives in Fairfax, which is a Jewish community in L.A. I'm here for this for the next 3 days after the concert." I said, are you free on this day? He said, yeah. Let me take you out to lunch, and I'll explain. So he said, I'll be there. And so I'm meeting him at a restaurant. For 2 hours, I share the gospel with him, sharing how Jesus is his Messiah, using scripture from memory. Because I didn't have my Bible with me. I didn't have my phone and Bible. I'm just sharing from Isaiah 5:2, Isaiah 9:6. I'm sharing from Isaiah 53. And some of you know these passages, so you know what I was sharing. But to save time, that's what I shared. And at the end of the time, he says, you've convinced me that Jesus is my Messiah. What do I do? I said, well, you can pray right now and give your heart to Jesus. An Orthodox Jew gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Through the prophetic word, that got his attention. So now, 9 months later, we're having our Christmas special. And my son, one of our pastors, at that time, before he became senior pastor of our church, was in charge of, because he's a musician, he's a worship leader, but he was an actor in Hollywood. He starred in movies like Rush Hour 3 and Members of a Geisha. And so, cameo appearance, but did commercial. But he knows how to do a production. So he does our Christmas and Easter production every year. So he came to me and said, Dad, we had this one piece in our Christmas production where Lin Hong, who's a member of our church, he's a professor of piano at Juilliard, but he grew up in L.A., and every Christmas he comes home. But he teaches as a music teacher at the top music school in the nation. And so he said, Lin Hong is going to be back for Christmas, and we have this special piece that he wants to do, but we need to have a world-class violinist. Do you know of anyone that we could? And I said, well, I do, but he lives in Vienna, Austria, and I don't know if he can come out. So I emailed him. I said, Herbert, you know, because I was following up on him, sharing the passages. He was really following the Lord. It was amazing how he had grown in such a short time. But I said, listen, my son needs a violinist. We will fly you out, and we'll give you an honorarium. But we want to see if you can come to Los Angeles. He immediately replied. He said, listen, I'm going to fly out because I am so grateful for coming to know the Lord and anything I could do for you guys. And so I'm coming out, and I don't want any honorarium. Then he said this, you can't afford my honorarium. Like $30,000, $40,000, whatever that was. So he flies out. He meets Lin Hong. They practice for like 1 hour, and they put on the Christmas special at our church. And all of a sudden, the Lord brought to my remembrance the prophetic word I gave him, that you're performing for your own glory right now, but one day you'll perform for the glory of God. And it was on Christmas. And so I went up to him and I told him that, you know what he's doing now? He's a professor of music at a Christian university. I mean, it's just amazing how God has taken him. Give him all the praise. But one word, under the anointing of God, you could do that. You could do that. You could say, well, maybe general. How generous is that? You're performing for, you know, yourself. Doesn't take a scientist to know that because he's an unbeliever. But one day you'll perform for the glory of God. And you act on that. And so I'm going to give some words of knowledge out, but one more story I want to share. Because I feel the harvest is starting to come in. So I was in Washington, D.C. on November the 6th. I was asked to speak at one of the Trump rallies on November the 5th at Freedom Plaza. And then I stayed for November 6th to hear President Trump speak. And we're all there. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people were there to stop the steal. That was the rally call, was stop the steal, because we believe the election was stolen. That's my opinion. So I was there. Now, by the way, not once did he say to break into the Capitol and just demonstrate. He said, let's peacefully and patriotically go over there. And he was really encouraging us to pray there, because we came to pray. But as I'm waiting for Trump to get on, because, you know, we were there early, and they had so many other speakers, and I'm waiting like 2 hours in this, just standing wall-to-wall people. And so you get to know the people around you, right? And so I introduced myself, met two pastors from Northern Virginia. They were there in front of me. And then there was a guy who was Japanese from Hawaii. He came all the way from Hawaii. And I asked him if he was he was for Trump, obviously, flew all the way out, but he was a Buddhist. He wasn't even a Christian. And then there was two from Boston, and they're Roman Catholic. I asked them, so what's your faith? They said, we're Roman Catholic, and we're thinking about leaving the Catholic Church to go to the next church over because our church has really gone into gay marriages and all that, and we just don't think a Catholic church should do that. So that, well, I was agreeing with him. But when I was talking with him, I realized they were not saved. And then he asked me this question. He said, the guy from Boston, we've heard this phrase, but we don't know what it means. Could you explain to us what it means to be born again? I was saying to the Lord, thank you, Jesus. It doesn't get easier than this. This is like a ripe fruit just ready to come off. And so, because I knew the Japanese guy was standing there listening, he couldn't move. And so I shared the gospel with all three of them, the husband, wife. And at the end, I said, would you guys like to give your life to Jesus Christ? All three said yes. The pastors were praying. You know, they were praying for me and, you know, doing warfare and whatever they were doing. And they gave their hearts. And I said, God, this is so amazing. This is so easy. It dawned upon me, 80 million people voted for Trump, but they're not saved. Majority of them are not. If you just look at the percentage of evangelical Christianity in America, and how many of them are just absolutely in pain because they feel the election was stolen. And these are what's called the deplorables. They're the populist. They're the middle-class individual, the blue-collar worker. They're not the elites. They're the poor. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the masses. And I said, this is where the harvest is going to come. They're so ripe. They're so disappointed. See, C.S. Lewis said this. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Problem of Pain, he says, God whispers to us in our pleasure. When we're going through a good, easy time, he'll just talk to us. He's constantly speaking, by the way. But he shouts to us in our pain. And we've gone through a real painful season. COVID-19, economic meltdown. I don't know about Alaska, but I'm assuming like in California, thousands of businesses went bankrupt. Highest unemployment rate right now in California, 10% of California out of 40 million, 4 million are unemployed. And it's getting worse. We had riots, 100,000 marching in Hollywood. Shoulder to shoulder, no mask, and they absolutely plundered Fairfax, the Jewish community. You talk about racism. You know, here they're critics being saying, you know, you guys are racist, right? And yet they're so anti-Semitic. They're again calling evil good, good evil. It's just an upside down world. Newsom gets on their press release, press conference the next morning, and he says, you will be protected. Your First Amendment rights must be protected. Your voices will be heard. These are actual quotes because I've memorized them because I had to go through litigation. We use that for discrimination. You're commending these rioters, violent rioters, for exercising the First Amendment. Now, I believe in First Amendment of speech. As long as it's peaceful. It wasn't even peaceful, and he was defending them. And so we're thinking, what about our First Amendment rights? It's time for the church to stand up. It's time for us to stand not only the word of God, but even the freedoms we have that's been won by those who have gone before us. How many died in the Revolutionary War or Civil War for freedom and rights? And Korean War, 50,000 American soldiers died just to deliver us from communism. I tell you, I've traveled around the world. I've been to almost 100 nations. Again, it's not hyperbole. We're in 70 nations as a ministry. And so when I come back, this is the best nation in the world. Can I hear an amen? It is the best nation. Because of the foundation of freedom, the DNA that's in this country. And to me, it blows me away. I'm a Korean immigrant that became a citizen. I see all these white people hating America. You know, the cancel culture, the critical race theory. I mean, it's like, what is wrong with you teaching our kids to hate America? Reverse racism. I mean, it's just again... We know that Satan's running out of time. He's overplaying his hand. And just like he locked down the church, overplayed his hand, we end up prospering with $1.35 million lawsuit victory in the midst of this woke politician making these totalitarian, egregious decrees. It's unbelievable. Again, if it's not you, who? God's called you. Every believer. You're the ecclesia. You say, well, all it takes is just courage. But where does that courage come from? God's not given us the spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, but power. Power of the Holy Spirit, love. The love of God's been shed upon your heart through the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5, and a sound mind. This is where the real battle is. You got to get your mind renewed on the Word of God. You got to know who God is and who you are in Christ. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. We just don't know our assignment. Well, that's why I'm here. I'm here to revive you, to give you your assignment, your marching orders tomorrow night. When we talk about Reformation, I'll be meeting with the leaders tomorrow, and then on Sunday I have a message for you, what the Spirit of God is saying to the whole church on Sunday morning. But here's what I want us to do. I want us to jump in the river. I want us to jump in the river of Ezekiel 47. Remember the dream that, or the vision that Ezekiel had, where angel took him into the river, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. Now, I don't know if I shared this with you, but I came in 2010 to go king salmon fishing in the Kenai River. And after we caught I caught a 91-pound king salmon. My son caught a 90-pound. We have pictures to show and all that. It was the second and third largest king salmon caught that year up to that point. And so once you hit your limit, you can't fish for that anymore. And so we decided to go sockeye fishing at the Kenai River. Now, sockeye fishing is you get weighted boots, you walk out into the river, and you just hook them as you're going upstream. You just hook them on the mouth. There's no bait. They're not biting bait. There's so many of them, you just hook them, and if you get to do it right, you can get your limit of five, salmon, red salmon, start running upstream. So my son, he loved it, but when I got out there, the current was so strong, I started to freak out. I saw myself just tripping in the Kenai River, my boots being filled up, and then I'm going down the Kenai River, and the newspaper said, Pastor drowned in the Kenai River, because he didn't know what the heck he was doing. And so I said, son, this is a young man's sport, I'll watch from the shore. And so I waded back to the shore. But the point is, I was able to wade out and wade back to the shore. I was still in control. The angel leads Ezekiel into the river that is so deep, the current is so strong, he can't even swim across. What's that a picture of? He's surrendered to the Holy Spirit. He's lost control. And what God's saying is, I want my church back. I want you back with me. I want you to give up control. You're still running your life, and you're making a mess of it. If you want blessing and favor, you've got to be totally mine. It's Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom. Make him king of your life. And then everything else will fall into place. All these things will be added unto you. So before we pray for the sick, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, and we're going to pray together. And we're going to rededicate our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord. What I mean by that is that we're going to surrender everything. Just like in the Kenai River or the river of Ezekiel 47, we've got to let the river carry us, not us being controlled and telling God what to do and how to bless us. No, he's God and we're not. We submit to his loving lordship. And of course, it's the most intelligent thing he could do because he loves you. He would so much wants to bless you. Luke 12:32 says, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I want to give you. What is the kingdom? It's righteousness, peace, and joy, the Holy Spirit. Some of you have had no joy because this pandemic has just preoccupied. You have no peace. You've been full of fear. That's not of God. God's not given us the spirit of fear. But righteousness in the Holy Spirit, you've got to be right with God and right with one another. I'm praying for an encounter because I know it's not by might. It's not by my power. I can't make anything happen with you. But if you are sincere and you humble yourself and you repent, God says, I'll hear from him, forgive your sins, and heal your land. I mean, think about the thief on the cross. He said, remember me when you get into paradise. And Jesus said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise because I see your sincerity, I see your heart. Man looks on the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. He's looking at your heart right now. And so if in your heart you will bow in humility and say, God, I surrender all. See, I don't believe in being lukewarm. I mean, the church in Laodicea, I'd rather have you hot, that means on fire for me and loving me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, or cold, you're not saved yet, because then you can be saved and be hot for me. But if you're lukewarm, it causes pain in my stomach. it nauseates me because I know your destiny. I know you're made for more than what you've been living. And I want the best of you. He loves you with an everlasting love. So let's give ourselves to the God who loves you, who died for your sins, who took your place. He didn't have to come. He rose again on the third day. And now he says, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead can be activated. I know it's inside you if you're born again, but we need to, again, jump in the river, be full of the Holy Spirit in order to move and bring in the harvest through signs and wonders. So pray this prayer with me, but make this your prayer. Just say, Heavenly Father. Yeah, repeat after me out loud. I want to hear you. Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for all my selfishness. I repent. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you that you died in my place. That you went to hell for me. You rose again. Proving that I have eternal life. If I give my life to you. So I surrender all. All that I am, all that I have is yours. And by your grace, I will love you with all my heart. I will follow you. I will trust you no matter what. Now put your hand on your chest right now and just say, Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Now by faith, just receive that right now. Let the power of God come upon you right now. Just receive the Holy Spirit. I said, don't be in control anymore. You're in the river. Let the river carry you. Total surrender. Total peace. More, Lord, more of your Spirit. Let it come right now. Someone's been delivered from the spirit of fear. It's been tormenting you. It's been irrational. You know that it's a demonic spirit. Again, it's a spirit, so I break that off you right now in the name of Jesus. Anxiety is lifting off of someone right now. If there's someone who's been on medication of depression and you've been really, it's been accentuated, and we understand, during COVID. But again, he has not given us depression, but joy. Unspeakable, full of glory. And he's setting you free right now. I take the thoughts captive, your thoughts captive, to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just saw an elbow being healed. I don't know if it's a tennis elbow or some kind of injury in the, I believe it's a right elbow, and it just moved that. When I call these words out, do something you couldn't do before, test it, and to see if that is you. Also, a right shoulder injury. So move your shoulder. Someone's sinus has just cleared up. Breathe in right now. Deviated septum. Let me just pause for a moment. I want to just see who those people are right now. If your shoulder or your elbow just got healed, even if it's partial, I want you, or your sinus just opened up, would you wave at me? I want to see who you are. You know something's happened. Don't raise your hand unless you... And look up at me because I want to make sure you're not just worshiping. Are you saying your shoulder just got healed? Your elbow just got healed. Okay. Who else is here? This woman right here? Your shoulder got healed? Who else? Something has happened, even if it's partial, but you know that the healing power is coming upon you. Your sinus just... Who was the one with the sinus opened up? You had a deviated closed sinus. Thank you, my God. Let's just continue to wait on the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's someone with a thyroid condition. I don't know if it's a hyperactive or a hypo. But check your throat right now. The thyroid is going right now. Thank you, my God. Who is that person? You have a thyroid condition, hyperactive or hypothyroid. I'm not saying if you're healed, raise your hand. I just want to know who has a thyroid condition. Because I want to pray for you. No one... Oh, okay, right here. I'm sorry. Okay, I didn't see your hand. Test it. See if it feels better. Why don't you come on up here? Because I want to lay hands on you. One of the things I did, I prayed for years in the Jesus People movement, and by Bible study with 2,000 people, just praying for people to be healed. So, Father, I just thank you that your word says we shall lay our hands. He signs for follow those who believe. We've got Mark 16, 17, and 18. We shall lay our hands on the sick, and they will, not might, but they will recover. Do you believe that? Okay, receive that, and just see how you're feeling right now. Just touch it. The Spirit's all over you. Swallow. See if there's any difference. Are you sensing any difference? Not yet. Okay. Thanks for your answer. Continue to thank God. Thanksgiving is the language of faith. Because healing can be instantaneous. Other times it's progressive. And a lot of times it's our test. Because he wants to say, he says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? We got to contend in faith. Amen? Thank you, Lord. I see another, but it's part of the shoulder, but more in the neck area. It's like a stiff neck, sharp pain in between the shoulder blade. Who is that person? God's healing you right now. Move your neck around. The right shoulder blade. Who is that person? Whether you're healed or not, but if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand and then I want to pray for you. Okay, come on down. Come on down real quick. You guys are so shy of light here. I want you to be aggressive and the kingdom of God suffers violence and those who take it by force. And tell me what's wrong with your right shoulder blade.
Three surgeries and it's all tight all the time.
So three surgeries, wow. Okay. You believe in the word? We shall lay our hands on the sick and they will recover. The Spirit of God's all over you. Thank you, Lord. We're blessed with God's son. He called you out. He loves you. Just receive that. Now, I want you to move your shoulder. Do something you could do before. See if it's getting looser.
Actually, it's getting, I usually pinch the second to do that.
It's better. Jesus, praise and glory. How much better? Before you came in tonight, where is that now? Is it 10% better, 25%, 40%? What would you say?
Like 40, the knot in the back of my shoulder is completely gone.
The knot used to be there, but it's not there. Come on, that's significant. Come on, give Jesus the glory. What about you? What was wrong? Well, let's believe God for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, I need an usher, maybe back just behind, just because I feel so much power when these people come up here and the presence of God's all over you. And just receive that healing for your shoulder, total healing. And really, it's the enemy. He wants to steal, kill, destroy. And we just break the demonic assignment on your shoulder right now off of you in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I feel like there's also, you know, when I was talking about some depression, that you've been fighting depression and the Lord's lifting that off of you right now. Does that make sense? Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God. We give you praise and glory. And I'm giving this word for a lot of you. I feel some of you are really contending for loved ones that are not saved. It's Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus, you and your family will be saved. Does that make sense for you, your son? And so God is moving right now. He wants you to claim your loved ones, the prodigals, to come home. I wasn't a prodigal. I was lost. I was a drug addict, drug pusher. And by the way, on May 25th, I just celebrated my 48th spiritual birthday at a Deep Purple concert. I walked out and got totally delivered, gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Long story. But my parents prayed me into the kingdom. They didn't know how to reach me. So God's heard your prayers, and it's a done deal, says the Lord. Your son will get saved. Just continue to thank you for that. Give you praise. Thank you, my God. Let's just wait on the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. I see a lower back being healed right now as well. And so if that's you with the lower back problems, just move around and see if there's heat coming to your back, like a sign for you to show you that God's doing a work of healing. For someone who has dental work, dental problem, pain in your mouth has been throbbing. And go put your finger there and see if the pain is gone. Thank you, my God. Eyes are being healed. I rebuke cataract, glaucoma. And put your hands on your eye if you need healing for your eyes, nearsighted, farsighted. Now, I'm going back to the sinus again. Who is the person with sinus congestion? You may not have received a release, so you didn't raise your hand, but who is here with the sinus congestion? I want to pray for you. If your sinuses are clogged up. Okay, all the way to the back. Come on down real quick. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's give a hand for our sister as she comes down. Stepping out in faith and all that. And so what's been clogging? Is it just something physiological, or has it just been recent just with like a cold?
It's just a cold.
But God cares about that. I really feel that He wants to show Himself strong to you. He wants to show He's real. And so, Father, I just thank You, Lord, that she's been praying for an encounter. And You've heard her prayers, that she really wants Jesus to be real in her life, and not just go with her parents' encounters. And we thank You, Lord, for opening up her sinuses. In Jesus' name, the Spirit of God, come. Just breathe in right now. See what's going on.
Actually, as soon as He called me down and I raised my hand, my sinuses cleared.
Come on, let's give Jesus praise and glory. That's awesome. God is good. There's someone's knee injury. I believe it's the right knee injury. We talked about knee surgery and all that. This person has had an arthroscopic surgery. Who is that person? But it's still causing pain off and on in your life. Who is that one? Ma'am, why don't you come on out here? And who else? Anyone else with a knee surgery? Thank You, Holy Spirit. God bless you. I'll tell you, the Spirit's all over you. You were just smiling the whole time I was preaching. Father, I thank You that we shall lay Your hands on the sick and they will recover. And your foot as well. Thank You, Lord. You are faithful from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. God is so good. He loves you. You know, I'm getting Psalm 91, verse 14 for you. With a long life, I'll satisfy you. So, yeah, He's given you that verse of the 120 years you're planning. Amen. That's awesome. Lay hands on me. I want that faith. Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. What about you? What's your name? The surgery said, do you feel something happening, shifting, even as we're here in the presence of God? Okay. Father, I thank You that Your word says we shall lay our hands on the sick. I'm quoting Mark 16, 17, and 18, but this is for every believer. These signs will follow those who believe, not just the healing evangelists. We shall lay our hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now I'm going to, this sounds crazy, but I just want to rebuke a demonic spirit that's been feeding off of that pain. That's why the recovery hasn't been complete. So Lord, I just, sin comes to steal, kill, destroy, and rebuke the enemy off of this knee in Jesus' mighty name. Just move it around, just see. Let's give Jesus praise and glory. That's great. I'm going to pray for you guys because I really feel God's hand is on your family. What's that? And okay, let's pray for that. Father, we thank You, Lord, that the power of God come and heal this name. Full healing, full extension, full flexibility. This is Your inheritance. You know, healing is the children's bread. So if your son asks for a bread, of course you give him. Sandwich, I'm not going to say no. And God's saying the same thing for you. This is your bread. I want to give you whatever you ask me for. So it's yours. That's how much He loves you. I feel that God wants to visit you guys in your marriage, in your business, your finances. There's an incredible destiny He has for you guys. It's Jeremiah 29:11. You know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. And so He is so much for you. And really, even in Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me and I'll answer and show you my great and my things that you know not. And so you to draw closer to him is James 4:8. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Amen. God bless you. Receive that healing in Jesus' name. Okay. Jody, what's wrong? Which both knees? Right knee. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Again, this is not of God. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. Receive the healing. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, my God. You know, there's a real transformation taking place in your life with your family and your ministry. And I feel 2 Corinthians 3:18, are you being transformed from glory to glory? And it's begun a number of years ago, but it's just going to take a whole different level this year going into 2021. It's almost like everything your hands will touch, God's going to bless it because you've been obedient to the Lord. You've walked no matter where you're at. You please Him in all respect. You've borne your fruit in every good work. And you're increasing in knowing Him and sensing with Him. I want Eileen to come out here too. I want to pray for you as well. Father, I thank you for team ministry. There's a creative element of you that is going to just blossom in this church like never before. I see almost like a school of the arts. And so, Father, I just thank you for your daughter that's been faithful. It's called you as an intercessor. I pray right now for prophetic intercession to be activated in your life like never before. As the harvest is coming in, you're going to see a youth revival. What guys are praying for your son's generation to come into the kingdom? And the Lord says He's going to give it to you, first fruits of that. And so I don't know who the youth pastors are. Who's the youth pastor here? Well, come on out here. I want to pray for you. That's right. What's your name again?
Steve.
It's been a number of years. So, Father, I just thank you so much because I feel the harvest is for the young people.
Get ready.
Because it's going to be a ride. It's like a Jeep. But you need to get your seatbelt on, and it's going to be rocky. It's going to be a four-wheeler. And so get ready because the Lord's going to take you on an incredible ride by the sword. His kingdom is surpassing His kingdom. And it's going to be glorious, says the Lord. It's going to be full of joy. You'll be reaping the harvest with joy. And so just begin to celebrate even now, says the Lord.
Yeah. Come on.
Celebrate in faith for what the Lord's about to do.
Yes.
Amen. Bless you, God. Love you, God. Come on, let's give him a big hand. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to have a ministry team if you guys want to be prayed for, but I'm going to be in the back. And again, I want you to sow into One Race for Life. Again, 100% of the proceeds go into our pro-life movement. We just started August of 2020, so it's a brand new movement, and we're staffing people. We're sending out e-blasts every week to inform people about what's happening with the laws are changing overnight. It's amazing. Over 20 states have passed a heartbeat bill that if there's a heartbeat detector, you cannot abort that child. So on a state level, it's happening. And then the court from Mississippi is going to the Supreme Court. So we know it's going to be overturned. We've heard the prophetic words about that, and we've been praying now for 40 years. But, again, on a state level, we need to vote biblically. And in Alaska, I know you have more of a Republican state than we do in California by far. But don't take it for granted. Just because they say they're pro-life doesn't mean a thing. You want to see their track record. You want to see their integrity. That they're not just saying it to get elected. Because now 52% of Americans are saying that late-term abortion should be illegal. 52%. And yet all the Democrats who ran for presidency, including, you know, of course, President Biden and Kamala Harris, were all for late-term abortion, which is monstrous. Anyway, so thank you as we're fighting the last battle to get states to be pro-life on a state-by-state basis. And so I'm going to hand it over to Zach. Thank you so much. I'll be out there to give you a prophetic word.
Yeah, praise God. So, Papa Che is not
shy about sharing his age. So I'm not here to tell you his age. We were talking about it today, and he's a couple years older than I am, and at least two. But what it takes out of you physically when you pour out, you're energized, the anointing is on you, but it takes a lot out of you physically. To stand and pour out what God is putting in you to give here, I know what that's like. I know what that feels like. And we were talking today about honoring those who give, honoring men and women of God who pour their lives out and pour out upon us. It's not just honoring the person. You're actually honoring the Lord by honoring the person who's pouring out that way. And so I want to receive an offering for Papa Che. This is not going to us. We're not recouping money for airfare, nothing like that. This 100% of what comes in, we give to him who, quite honestly, then he gives away. I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but I know that he literally gives away more than 60% of what his income is for the year between he and his wife. And he shared with me today that his wife is pushing him to go to 90%. So by faith, stretching and stretching. So my whole point is, nobody's getting wealthy on the money that comes in. The kingdom is advanced. The kingdom is stretched. But I believe wholeheartedly in sowing into the ground of HIM Ministries, of Papa Che. You don't have to write a check for Papa Che. You can write a check to Bridge of Hope, BOH. And at the end, I will write a check to Joseph's store. If you already wrote a check, you can write one to Joseph's storehouse if you would like. That's right. So I just want to sow and give you an opportunity to sow into the ministry of Cheon. It doesn't just stop here. It goes literally around the world. And so I'm going to pray and like to receive this offering tonight. And I just encourage you to give and give like he just gave to us, generously and fully. So, Father, thank you for this opportunity to sow. Thank you for this amazing time that we've had, Lord, to be poured into, to receive healing and blessing. And, Lord, I know even those who didn't receive instant healing, God, I believe that we will continue to hear the testimonies of those who were touched here tonight and will continue to be touched throughout the week. I pray that you would just bless us as we go from here. Lord, we love you and we give you the honor and the glory for all that happened here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can come and give your offering. Otherwise, you are dismissed and we bless you. Stop at the table and buy a book. Get it signed. Say hello to